Hi, I'm Zuby from Magic with Zuby, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 91 of Better Podcasting. On today's show, we talk about smart ways to manage equipment evolution.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we rage on SoundCloud bottom feeders.
And finally, in this week's Better Podback, we ask the question, or do we ask the question, about your podcast voice style preference?
And they say that I'm the energetic one. Lauren, start the show now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode number 91 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is Stargate Pioneer.
How many times do I have to tell you, Stephen, call me SP or else I'll fire you again? It's a great night to be podcasting. It's midweek. We changed our timing, but this is working out awesomely this week. I'm glad to be back on schedule, man.
I agree. I love recording live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time, or 4 p.m. if you are in Alaska.
What if you're in Hawaii?
I'm not going to do the math because Hawaii doesn't matter. Nobody wants to live on Hawaii. Ugh.
What do you mean nobody wants to? I'd love to live on Maui or Kauai. I'm all about that.
I'm just kidding. I would love to live in Hawaii. But you know what? We're not here to talk about Hawaii. We're here to talk about podcasting. And today we are going to talk about a plethora of topics that we talked about at the top of this show. But one thing that we like to do here on Better Podcasting is we like to give away stuff. Isn't that right, Stargate Pioneer?
We do like to give away stuff. And more importantly, I have something to give away. Just to remind everybody, if you're tuning in for the first time, we ran a contest all this summer. If you entered, you had a chance to win this Audio-Technica ATR-2100 USB XLR microphone. And but wait, there's more. We didn't want to send you away packing with something that might not work great with plosives, so we added this foam windscreen. So what we asked everybody to do to be in consideration for this is to send us an email at contest@betterpodcasting.com. by the 27th of July, 2017, and tell us why you started a podcast or why you want to start a podcast. And we read some of those stories last time, but this time we're going to actually give it away. What I have is all the contest entries in the Geek Hat. We are part of the GunnaGeek.com network, so I wanted to have a geeky lid. This is Black Squadron, by the way, which is Star Wars.
I should give you a GunnaGeek hat, shouldn't I?
You should. You should actually provide me with a Gunna Geek hat, a Gunna Geek polo shirt. I would like that as well. So what I've done is I've taken all the entries, I put them on a piece of paper, and we've had dozens, we had close to 100, like 98 or 99 entries are in this hat right now. So what we're going to do is I'm going to lift it above my head so I can't peek and choose, so I can't be accused of favoritism. And I'm going to select one. So, Stephen, do you have anything to add before we select our winner?
I do. I have two things to add. Number one, you got 99 entries, but SP ain't one. So there's one thing I got to add. And
that's
now
true. Stephen's not in there either.
No. And without further ado, I would like it if you would give it away, give it away, give it away. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that lyric, sir.
Well, that's okay. One day, maybe you'll eat some chili peppers. So there you go.
Are they red and are they hot?
Perhaps, but okay. Go ahead and draw, Mr. Pioneer. Go ahead and draw the name for the Audio-Technica ATR-2100 USB. For the audio listeners, he is shaking the hat. He is pulling one out, and he is about to read the grand prize name of...
Chris Long.
Chris Long, congratulations. If I was at home, I would be ringing my bell, but I'm not at home today, so... Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, Chris Long. He was, he was one of the ones that we read off last time. He was the one that was just looking into starting a podcast, and they were poor college students. So, hey, this is probably going to go to a good home. So, Chris, email me, stargatepioneer@gunnageek.com, and with your address, and I will get this off to you. So, congratulations, Chris. There were a lot of great entries, but... you were the one that won.
And for the reference, I know we usually at the end talk about all of the live preference or the live chatter and whatnot, but in our live chat that we do have when we record this on Wednesdays at www.geeks.live, we got several people who got my Chili Peppers reference. Okay, so Stargate Pioneer, just cry a little bit.
I always cry. It's me. I cry every day. What are you talking about? I'm not afraid to cry. Available to express my feelings.
Absolutely. But speaking of your feelings, let's go ahead and move on to our first segment that we've got here. Here at Better Podcasting, we like to ask the question, how have you saved your podcast? That's right. We encourage you to come on in and tell us all about how you saved your podcast, because if we can't learn as a group, who can we learn from? So we want to go ahead and share things and have you share things as well with all the other listeners on how you have saved your podcast. You got to get creative. If things change, you're a hobby podcaster. Adapt to life. And today we have a special story from none other than, his name appears to be Staring at the Gate. Oh, sorry, Stargate Pioneer.
Don't you call me SP, buddy. Come on. Oh, just hitting me with that Stargate Pioneer left and right. At least you're not calling me Star Pie or one of the other derogatory terms floating around the GoodAgeek.com network. Yes, I do have a How I Saved My Podcast story. We alluded to it last week. There are some people that know bits and parts of this, mostly my co-hosts on various shows. Steven, you're obviously one of them. But I just wanted to say to everybody what happened to me last week. Now, I was coming off of the July vacation time. There was a lot of cycling in my shows of people that were on vacation, off vacation, and this included the production staff behind a couple of the shows as well. So just coming off of that and just ramping up to hit it hard for the rest of the summer, coming into San Diego Comic-Con. You know, we are on a geeky network, so a lot of my shows revolve around geeky content outside of Better Podcasting, and we were really looking forward to July and August. Well, all of a sudden, I got this call and said, well, first of all, I have to say, don't worry, everybody. Everything is okay right now. Everything is fine. Nothing really catastrophic happened, but I'm going to tell you a little story about some bad things happening. So just preparing you for that. It is suitable for work, by the way. So everything is okay. And second of all, my son no longer lives at home. He's going to college, and he is going to college literally hundreds of miles away. There might or may not be four digits in that mileage, but we'll just leave that one alone in between him and me. And he has been in a place that he lives with in the same town as his maternal grandparents. So he has some support around there. Unfortunately, they leave. They're the opposite of snowbirds. So in the summer, they run up to upstate New York. So they were hundreds of miles away when this all happened. And basically what happened through a series of really unusual events, we still don't know what the cause, my son experienced renal failure. And for those of you that don't know what that is, his kidneys stopped working. Now, he wasn't on drugs. He had not sustained any physical injury to the kidneys. His kidneys stopped working. And I'll save everybody for the medical explanation that was given to me, but he needed to get to the hospital then. So what he did is he called me and said, "Hey, Dad, doctor called. The latest test came in. They said I need to get to the hospital." I'm like, "Okay, you need to get to the hospital. You need somebody to take you." Like, no, I can drive. I'm like, "Really? Okay." So he's headed to the hospital. I'm like, "I got to get down there," because I knew what he was going into the hospital for. So I was in the car and I left within 15 minutes. It's one of those things that you grab what you can and you are gone. And that's what happened. There was no prep. I didn't pack a bag. I just threw some clothes into a suitcase. I grabbed my go bag of gear and I got in the car and I left. So it was the second medical emergency for him this summer. So we thought we were in the clear, and this happened. It was not related, by the way. No plans were made for the podcast. It was just shut down immediately. As I was traveling on stops, I would text people and say, "Look, there's no show. I don't know when we're going to resume. I'll get back to you." And they're like, everybody's asking, is everything okay? And at that time I said, "I don't know, but I hope so. I think people have gone through this before, so we'll see." And as the days waned by, as the hospital days waned by, and we were getting a little bit more comfortable with the situation, and he even started to improve, I was thinking, okay, I've got this I got work, by the way, which I was in constant communication back and forth with work. But all of a sudden, I'm like, I've got this podcast thing. I should figure out what I'm going to do about this pretty soon. Because in the hospital, you have a lot of downtime, and it's not, you're not spending all the time with the individual. The individual is going through tests, might be taking a shower or something like that. So you have a little time away.
Plus, let me just interject here for a minute and remind you, it's Stargate Pioneer, the one who does like 20 shows a week anyway. So, you know, podcasting is always high up on his mind as it is.
The fact that I even took a bag with a microphone and a laptop, and it says something, I guess. But then became the issue of, okay, when are we going to start again? So I had to contact everybody and say, okay, you know, it's looking like we might restart production in the next week or so. So I had to make sure everybody's schedules were matching up, that they didn't make other plans, and that we were still available to podcast. Well, then I had shows that were ready to go. They weren't ready to go, but they were recorded and I needed to get them out. I had audience members and people that were listening to my show, Starling Tribune, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. And they were like, "What, dude, where's the shows?" I'm like, just a couple of days, guys. Just give me a couple of days. So I found out that my interconnection was like non-existent. So the files that we transfer back and forth are in lossless and they're big files. So there's no way that I could really get files back and forth, but they were in common storage areas. And I had production files in case of emergencies like this that were already preloaded. So that, I guess I did do some emergency planning, you know, like if there's a super volcano that goes off here and I manage to escape, I can still have my podcast. So I call up, I phone a friend, and I was like, "Okay, friend, here's the deal. You know what I'm going through and you've offered to help. I need some help." And that friend was Steven. So I said, "Steven, I need some help with a podcast. Can you go ahead and edit one of my podcasts?" And he's like, "Ooh, edit a podcast that I don't know anything about? I have not done this in a long time. I am all for this," right? That's what you said.
Actually, truthfully, it was, because little listener fact here, Steven Jondrew is a loyal listener of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the regular season, because I don't keep up with the summer content that they cover, and I will one day, so I don't want to spoil it for myself. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll find out about an episode or something.
So you went ahead and you started from really a blank sheet. I mean, you knew the format of the show, but you didn't know exactly what we were talking about. You had never edited one of the shows before, and you were basically starting from scratch because you had to EQ the files on your own. I mean, I really wasn't available to tell you what I normally do. And we have slightly different editing processes anyway. I'm using Audacity still, at least for now, and you are not. So the two don't really translate all that well. So how long did that take you to take one of my shows from front to beginning and have it out the door, not having any experience producing it?
So this is fun because I actually recorded it so that I would be able to time how long it was. And it was the easiest way. And from start to finish, downloading files and everything, it was close to 4 hours, and that's for a, I think it was a 50-minute episode. Now, the thing is, that was start to finish. That's me as somebody going into SP's property, and to be honest, I was much pickier than I would be if I was doing it on a weekly basis, because, you know, I knew what was going on with SP, so honestly, I probably could have shaved it down to around 3 hours, but still, that's a lot. So that's a, I'm so glad you decided to share this story, SP, because I think it's a great example on a new podcaster coming in, how much time they can expect if they really want to massage and edit a podcast. Because I am an experienced editor. I know the software. I know how to edit. I've been podcasting since 2008. I know the different tricks, the ways that you can speed things up and slow things down. I got experience, and it still, with SP's property, took me that long. So as a new podcaster, it could take you like 5, 6, 7 or more hours if you really want to get picky. But I was happy to step in and help out a brother and help out a friend. So Stargate Pioneer, it is a great How I Save My Podcast story. And I was happy to do it, and I would do it again.
Thank you very much. I do really appreciate what you did. I was able to get that episode out within days of me getting back, and that was out the door and made the audience very happy. Now, I will say, if you don't happen to have a friend, a podcast buddy like we do on the Get a Geek Network, because it's a great community and we know people that can produce the way that we would like it to produce. But if you reach out to a podcast editor and you want your show done a certain way and you edit extensively, it's going to take that individual a lot longer than if they were doing it on a regular basis. So if you're just reaching out for an emergency sake, or you just want it every once in a while, you get overrun with life and your schedule, it's going to take them a while. So if they charge by the hour, be prepared to pay for that. And if they charge by the project, they might give you like a one-time good deal, and then they might charge more the next time around when they know exactly what you expect back and forth. But to a new editor, there's going to be some communication back and forth on what they want to take out. Like if they want to actually edit the show, take out crutch words, take out segments that don't make sense, or move segments around or something like that, it is going to take them a while to learn how you want the show too. And if you're just trying to get out a show, do you care? As long as it sounds decent, I mean, okay, it's not the way you usually edit it, but it's somebody else that's helping you out in this case. So there you go. And all just great examples of how I saved my podcast story right here. And to reiterate, my son is doing fine. I actually just spoke to him today shortly before the podcast. We talked about his housing arrangements. This is coming up for the fall school year. And about, well, it's Wednesday, so comic books dropped today, and we talked about comic books. That's great, right? Father-son conversation about comic books.
And just to reiterate that point, I also talked to him today, and he's already planning the next masterpiece to be mowed into SP's lawn. That's a callback to last year. That's a callback if you're a longtime listener. So let's go ahead and move on to our next segment. Here we go. This one's fun for us this week because guess what? We're talking about gear and evolving your gear. Yes, last week we had loyal listener Christopher Long, believe it or not, who was saying that they were starting their podcast using no gear and minimal software. So he was doing this just to see whether or not we would like, he would like podcasting. And so we wanted to tackle that and really tackle the idea that you don't need to go and start off with a plethora of gear. You know, myself and Stargate Pioneer, we have a ton of gear, but we've talked before how we acquired that over time. And the reality is that while there's a lot of people who are in the business of talking about podcasting, they have a lot of gear because they also have acquired over time. So it's really easy to get into that hype with all of these people have these this gear, and you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I guess I got to start my show. I should probably do what they do and get all this gear because this looks like a lot of fun. Look at him. He's got a DBX 286. Ooh, as he talks, it lights up. And that's not the case. There's a good place to start. And a good way to evolve your gear. And that's what we're going to talk about today is some decision trees, some ways that you can lay out your path and some ways to really weigh the pros and cons of what that next purchase is. So Stargate Pioneer, if I want to podcast and have an ambition to change my gear and upgrade it one day, where should I start?
You should start with a good sounding podcast to begin with. Now, if you're just checking things out, if you just want to say, hey, I wonder how this will flow, you can put your phone on the middle of the table and you can record into it. And you could throw it into Audacity or GarageBand later and you can fool around it with it till your heart's content. You can see how the editing process works. And you can even go as far as find a media host and throw it up there and have it out. I can see that not a lot of people are going to listen to something like that. Not unless you are have millions and millions of built-in fans to begin with. But if you're just doing it to figure out where to start out with, that is a great way. And I was going to use Christopher Long as an example. He just won the ATR 2100. So that's very fortuitous here. But it is a way that he started. Him and a friend sat down and they wanted to start doing that. Now, if you want to evolve your sound to sound great, the Nox podcast microphone for $40, it's both USB and XLR, works great, as is the ATR 2100 or the one that Steven is using right now, the AT2005, and that is to get a nice sound. However, look forward to where you want to eventually be and then brainstorm that future roadmap that you want to be there one day. So maybe perhaps the most affordable option, which might be like a Blue Snowball microphone, might not necessarily meet your requirements of decent sound as well as good capability to move ahead with, say, a mixer or a portable digital recorder in the future. You're going to need XLR for that. And the Blue Snowball does not have XLR, as does the Blue Yeti doesn't either. Now, I wouldn't recommend either of those two microphones for a large majority of reasons, but they are where a lot of podcasters think to go because it's cheap and they think that this will do. Well, it doesn't. How many people, Stephen, have come to us and said, I'm trying to get rid of this room echo. I can't get the good sound I want out of these microphones, because then they start looking at sound treatment and it's just snowballs for there. So having something that's both USB and XLR capable to begin with gives you that opportunity to evolve your gear.
Yeah, and that's, I'm so glad you said the echo thing, because the echo thing is something that so many people don't think things through. SP briefly mentioned you should have a bit of an idea of where you want to go one day with your roadmap. And so if you are going and you're like, I'm just going to buy this USB condenser microphone that's just going to echo everywhere because it's cheap right now. Well, if you don't look ahead, you're going to, next thing you know, be looking into those sound treating options that SP said. So you add up the price of sound treatment and you add it to the price of that microphone you bought, and you could have bought yourself probably something that was pretty nice for that money. So you got to look ahead as you're thinking about your gear acquisition. And that's, Echo is such a good example, SP. I push that all the time on different communities that people are adding up the price of sound treatment. And I'm like, take a look at this Nox. Look right here. Now add up your sound treatment. Oh, look, it costs more than the Nox. Just throw away your mic. Just put it on your shelf and spend the money on the Nox.
Or put it under the tire of your car and run over it.
Yes. Now, that's funny, but I actually don't suggest people do that because it's nice to have a backup. So
it is indeed nice to have a backup, and it is indeed nice to have something for options in case you do happen to be podcasting around a table or maybe you're doing a video game or a gaming option and you're communicating back. You know what? fantasy football draft, that's a perfect example of when to use a condenser microphone like a Yeti or a Snowball. If you're Skyping for friends or whatever that are all over the country or the world and they want to do their fantasy football draft, yes, a condenser microphone, that is what it's made for. If you've got eight people around a table and you got two other people that are Skyping in, a condenser microphone is what is, that is what it's meant for. It's not meant necessarily to do it for a podcast, but Steven's right. You could have it for a backup as well. Now, we were thinking about the future and you're thinking about, where do I eventually want to be? Do I want a podcast on the road? Do I want a podcast in the studio? Do I want to add sound? Do I want to have partial people in the studio and partial bring them in via Skype or Hangouts on Air or whatever the software that you are using? And I want to multitrack, and I want to multitrack with a local track. I want to do multitrack locally. Well, that's going to be a gear path eventually that is going to lead to some decision. And there's no right answer here. You can do it via a variety of different ways. But if you take a look at where you eventually want to go, like Steven and I have, honestly, Steven, you and I are, we've taken a certain path, and there are different paths to take, but our path we took for a variety of different reasons, but it is with multi-tracking through a separate recorder and a mixer so we can mix sound. So I can play these great sounds like this bump. Which was provided to us by Emily Peck Prokop, but Steven is not using his Heil PR40 right now, but that was meant for his golden Heil PR40. I can play that, and we could actually talk over that, and we can take that out in post if we needed to.
And the big thing with looking at sort of your future path when you are considering what you want to do next is, if you have that roadmap, it's going to help you make the most complete decision. Now, SP was talking about, we went the multi-track path. So I'll use that as an example there. Let's say you're thinking one day that you would like to have yourself a Zoom H6, but you also think you would like to have that sound mixer that allows you to play that wonderful bump provided by Emily from the Story Behind Podcast. Now, you are in a situation that you think to yourself, okay, I got a certain amount of money right now and I can do an upgrade. I can either get myself that 6-channel mixer, or I could go and I could get myself like a Zoom H4N. I can't afford the Zoom H6, but I can get myself an H4N. A good thing that you want to do is look at your map and think, am I okay with making the compromise to go with the H4N? Do I need that hardware recorder right now, or can it wait? So if you look at that decision tree, you think to yourself, okay, I've got a few options here. Number one, I can buy the mixer and you know, get the mixer that I want because I got the budget for that. Or I could wait and not buy anything and save for that Zoom H6. Or I could buy the Zoom H4N now, knowing that it's going to be considered a loss because maybe I'll end up being able to sell it for a bit of money later, but it might die, so I can't bank on that. And one day I'll get that Zoom H6. So you kind of have a few decisions. And so really you got to assess your current situation. What is the most complete decision for your current use case? If you are in a situation where your computer is constantly crashing, you're losing recordings, you're losing all these things, the H4N is probably the right decision for you because it's better to have a podcast that is only a couple channels versus no podcast or a frustrating editing session because you're having to marry together like 8 different clips. So that might be the way to go. On the flip side, you got a really stable, awesome recording setup as it is. Maybe get the mixer and keep using your current recording path. So you got to weigh the pros and cons, but look at the complete package of what your roadmap is.
I just want to bring up a Reddit post that I saw a few hours ago on the podcast subreddit. And the title of this post was Third Mic Question, and it was posted by Reddit user Scott the Amazing. So I'm pretty new at the podcast game. We've just had one episode Right now, my setup is just two microphones, two dynamic microphones into a Zoom H4N. And then I just transfer the file via SD card and edit on my PC. That's a sound way to go, Scott. Way to go. I'd like a third microphone for guests, but my Zoom only has two XLR ports. Is there an adapter I can get for adding a third mic? Or do I need to have a console set up and plug everything into that? What do you guys recommend? The easier, the better. And his podcast is at Extra Guac Pod. This is exactly what we're talking about. It is, you've bought some gear and you haven't necessarily, maybe it's because it was all you can afford. I get that. But you haven't necessarily thought through, what if I need to bring in a guest or a third host or a soundboard, something to that nature. A Zoom H4N has very limited expansion capability. It has two XLR inputs and then I believe a 3.5 millimeter into the XY microphones on top. If you happen to spend for a little bit more money for the Zoom H5, you can swap out that top the capsule and put two more additional XLR microphones on top of it. But that's more money to begin with, and it's more money for the capsule. And in the end, you'd be spending just about as much for the Zoom H6. So if you were going to do the Zoom H6 anyway, it would be nice to think about that ahead. And that's what we're talking about, is think where you want to be 6 months from now, a year from now, on where you want to be with your gear, and at the same time be conscious of the amount of money that you have to spend today. So for this example, I think there is a 3.5 millimeter input. What I would do for that is I would try to get some sort of lavalier microphone and insert that into the XY microphone path, or share a microphone. That could be doable as well. If you're interviewing somebody, you can pass the microphone back and forth, Bob Barker style. There's a lot of ways that you can do this. But if you haven't thought about it ahead of time, then you come up with questions like this of, how do I do it? And not really understanding what you have.
Now, while SP is giving that suggestion on how exactly somebody could deal with this problem, someone right now might be thinking to themselves, no, this is the obvious answer. SP, what are you doing? There is such an obvious way that you can solve that problem, which takes us to the next point. When you're considering your gear evolution, don't just look within your circles. Yes, people are going to give you great advice and they're going to give you feedback that's worth considering, but you might do a bit of research yourself and find something that is going to meet your specific requirements. Just because a product is highly recommended doesn't mean that there's not a cheaper product that does a little bit less, but does exactly what you need. That's your right option. So look around, do some research. Audio interfaces, audio recorders are great examples of this. There is a lot of people who recommend the Zoom H6 for the recording, or the Zoom H5, and also the, the Scarlett 2i.
The 2i2 or the 2i4 or yeah, the 2i whatever.
Exactly. But there's other options out there and they just might not have as much eyes on them, or maybe they're missing a feature requirement that those people who talk about these products need. You might not need that. So do your research, because you never know what's going to fit into your specific path and feature set requirements. So take a look, do the research, and accept that it's okay to buy something that somebody else hasn't bought that you know personally.
Now, when you're thinking about possible upgrade paths, you need to decide on what your next step is going to be. You can't just say, I want a mixer, but not get any microphones first. Having microphones first would help, especially if you can plug them in via USB, if you can, even into your phone with a camera connection kit, or in the Android side, you should just be able to go straight into the USB port there. But you need to look at your decision. You need to consider the roadmap we discussed that you need to come up with. And if you need to bounce ideas off of somebody, you can definitely catch us at podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Or check any number of places. The podcastforum.com is a great place. There's a lot of experienced hobby podcasters there that will give you some great advice. And they've used gear in a variety of different environments, either on the road or in their studios. Hardware recorder, We talked about that. How many channels do you need? We talked about the different channels available on the Zoom H4n, the Zoom H5, and the Zoom H6. There's also Tascam recorders. There's Roland recorders. There's a lot of different recorders out there. Look at the features on them and look at the price point on them and ask people that might be familiar with gear what they think about different things. If you do go the hardware recorder, we have two bits of advice for you. First of all, make sure you get as many SD cards as you need, maybe some extra SD cards. Secondly, look at power adapters on the road, because not all of them actually have power adapters. Some of them have the USB plug in now and not actual power adapter. So you have to look at that or bring extra batteries. And then finally, remember to hit record, because if you don't, you're going to have to do it again, or you just lost whatever you tried to record. So those are some things. So Stephen, what are some of the things that people would have to look at with an audio mixer?
Well, with an audio mixer, a lot of times people decide to put this in their upgrade path because they want to do a little bit more live style, like those bumps that SP said, or playing music, or mixing multiple people in the same room in. So that's a lot of times why an audio mixer is on an upgrade path for people. Now, one of the considerations you might have is that, honestly, many mixers have a tendency to die after like 5 years or so. Now, this isn't always the case. You're going to find there's people out there that say that Mackies are built by the tank. If you head on over to the podcastforum.com, you might find one person there who actually doesn't think so highly about Mackies. So that's a great example on how audio mixers in general can be somewhat unreliable as far as knowing how many years you're going to have them. Now, people are going to send me all sorts of hate mail and they're going to be like, no, buy yourself a Mackie. But I've just seen examples and I've seen too many stories to say that you can't guarantee. Now, why am I mentioning this? Because if you have a future path that you want to get to, let's say you're like, I want to podcast for 10 years. I think that that's what I'm going to lay this out for 10 years. And in about 5 years, I think I'd like to have myself have multiple hosts in the same room or multiple Skype connections and things like that. Well, if you're factoring in the consideration that the audio mixer might die, you might be willing to buy a smaller unit now as a stopgap to get you on, knowing that if you bought something now anyways, by the time you're at the 5 year mark that you got to use it, you might have to buy another one anyways. So that can really help consider it. The other thing as well is it is such a more advanced approach to podcasting than hooking up a microphone directly into your computer. You need to remember that an audio mixer is something that is going to add a whole other layer of complexity. You're going to not only be having to figure out how things work, you're going to have to make sure they're configured properly. You also have to have the cables to go with it. It's a whole big mess. And so that might be something that if you're not ready to take that on, maybe you want to put that a little bit further on your path.
There is a learning curve to gear, any gear. I will say mixers are probably on the higher side. So just keep that in consideration. If you want to start small and with limited options, then you get a little used to how everything works. Watch some tutorials on YouTube and you can figure out how to set the gain, how to do a mix minus perhaps, and how to record multiple channels through a variety of different means and go from there. So that is a good path forward there. Now, if you do happen to delve into the area of a large diameter dynamic cardioid broadcast microphone, like the one I'm using right now, like the Electro Voice RE320, in that $250 to $400 range is really where they really start. If you happen to look into that, that's US dollars, by the way. If you happen to score one of those, you might need some preamp gain. So you're going to have to look into preamp gain or preamplifiers, some digital processors, perhaps. Stephen and I both use with our microphones a DBX 286. I know Bandrew Scott over at the Podcastage channel also uses a DBX 286 or has used a DBX 286. They're great. There's also little gain, inline gain providers such as the Cloudlifter and Fethead. You might need to look into something like that as well. But that's just a consideration. If you want to add a noise gate in, you might want to do a digital processor like the DBX 286S. more than just the gain of the Cloudlifter or Fethead. Noise gates are great, especially if you're in a college dorm room and you're trying to podcast. I can't imagine that. But if you're trying to do that, you might need a noise gate eventually as well. And a DBX 286 does provide that on one channel. We talked about the new cabling. I know, Steven, you are a big EQ guy, and that is one of the reasons why you use your DBX 286S.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that people need to remember, if you're thinking about getting into like a hardware compressor or a hardware gate or something like that, is if you are doing most of your show not live, like if you're not doing a live program, a lot of this stuff can be supplemented by plugins. Now, yes, you can find all sorts of examples of audiophiles who will tell you that you don't get the same sound, but for most ears, you're going to get away with plugins just fine. And some people would even argue that they're better because they're non-destructive. So keep that in mind, that if you are looking to do something like a hardware equalizer, like something that you're actually putting in the chain of your mic path, or a hardware compressor, that you really want to know, is it going to benefit you more than it would going with like a software plugin? For me personally, that was higher up on my list because I do live shows. I love live shows. So I want to make sure that I can offer a very good experience to those that are watching live. If I wasn't doing that, that would be way down on my list. I don't even know that it would be on my list. So that's a consideration to have if that is possibly on your roadmap.
Another consideration is travel gear. If you are like me and you end up on the road a lot for family or work events, having something in your bag ready to go at some point in time, like the Knox podcast microphone, like the ATR 2100, like the Samsung Q2U, like the Audio-Technica AT2500 or 2005, that is the microphones that are great to have in a pinch, because you can use them in a variety of different ways to have some sort of minor mixing capability to play sounds maybe on the road, or record through an app on your tablet, or through Audacity on your laptop or something like that. So just think in terms of, if I find myself on the road and want to record, what do I need? Do I need a portable digital recorder? Do I need just the devices I have? Just think about that. In then when you buy your gear, try to maximize the usage of that gear as you go down the road. Now, I will want to end this discussion by saying it is okay to start really, really cheap. It is okay. But that's what Better Podcasting is about, is to advise you good ways to do that and to think about the future so that you can enhance the quality of your production.
And also, on the note of travel gear, you know, if you're going to travel, maybe just look at it as a break. Just, you know, when you're away, just take a break from your podcasting, right? Like, you know, nobody should ever travel and podcast. That's just the joke is that I'm doing that right now. That's the joke that I'm making right now. So there you go. But no, seriously, great point there on the travel gear, SP. Great point on the cheapness. And yeah, as SP said, it's okay to be cheap. And ultimately, the last thing that I got to say is that if you're going to be cheap, keep in mind that if you don't think through your decision, you might be wasting your money, because there's a tendency to cheap out and it bites you later.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Lately, in the last couple of days, actually the last few weeks, since all the news has come out about SoundCloud might not necessarily make it to the end of the year, everybody's come out of the woodwork looking at trying to get all those people that host their podcasts on SoundCloud over to their technology, over to their system. And this is just the latest of the articles that came out a couple of days ago that we're going to talk about here. You just have to think through these options as they're presenting themselves. And if you have to phone a friend, ask them what they think, ask us what we think, and we'll tell you, or listen to this podcast on this particular article and we'll let you know what we think. And what we're talking about in this particular case is a TechCrunch article that came out about a free podcast hosting capability with Anchor FM. Now, this article was obviously written by an Anchor.fm PR person. And let me read a quote from the article. Quote, SoundCloud is on shaky financial footing, saying it only has enough money to last a few more months unless somebody buys or invests in it. That's sure to cause anxiety in content creators with their life's work stored on SoundCloud. Shortly later, the article said, quote, "But paying to podcast is so passé. Expensive hosting services like SoundCloud can charge $15 per month for unlimited uploads and downloads. So Anchor is looking to capitalize on SoundCloud's moment of weakness." Yeah, bottom feeder right there. Quote, "Anchor today launches its podcast transition tool that lets anyone port their audio from another service like SoundCloud to Anchor's free podcast hosting service. All you need to do is stick the RSS feed for your podcasts into Anchor, and it will download and store them all from SoundCloud, Libsyn, or any other source. From there, you can distribute your podcast to iTunes, Google Play, and other outlets." Quote, "For now, Anchor is completely free for everyone, but promises to cut podcasters in when it starts to earn money. We strongly believe creators should be able to monetize their craft. Anchor may eventually generate revenue by appending ads to episodes or offering subscriptions to premium podcasts." Okay, Steven. My heart
shakes. I'm literally shaking right now as you read this, SP. Like, seriously, I am going to just give a big heavy sigh, because let's just recap two specific parts of this article that SP said. Let's just tear it apart. One of the first things that SP says is SoundCloud is on shaky financial footing. Another very critical part within this article: SoundCloud can charge $15 per month. And they do. A last part that I want to highlight here is that paying to podcast is so passé, and that Anchor is free. Like, come on! Do the math there. SoundCloud couldn't make it charging, and now you're being like, "Oh, look, they can't make it, but you can come over here for free where we charge nothing." The math isn't there. The math is not there. And to offer money one day when we start making money is ridiculous. Blab, Clamor, look at all of these other random services within the last year that had potential and did not make money and went away. This is ridiculous to try to spin your article this way when a company that charges money is going under. There is a reason things like Podbean and Libsyn and other companies out there are making money, because they charge a reasonable fee for their overhead expenses. Free, a little secret about free, that's not charging anything. Oh,
Anchor is probably thinking that they can make money by inserting ads into your podcast, either dynamically or in the download. I actually don't know how it works. However, I would be concerned about that, because I don't know if I would have control over the ads. So this isn't necessarily directed at Anchor. It's any service that's for free that says they're going to pay via advertisements. The other thing you have to look at is they're saying that, ooh, come over to us and we'll pay you. But if you're not making that magical 5,000 downloads per episode, I mean, and this is legitimate downloads. This is not SoundCloud bot downloads. This is somebody has to go in and click and download, and then they'll filter out similar IP addresses, stuff like that, into the stats. So this is legitimate downloads. If you don't make that cut, you're not going to get any money from these guys. I did a similar sort of thing with Spreaker, and I turned on monetization with Spreaker, and the CPM was so low. It's like $2 per CPM, and that's cost per thousand, where M is the Roman numeral for thousand. Am I going to subject my audience to ads that I don't know where they're coming from just so I can get $2 per thousand and say I'm only getting 2,000 downloads? So that's $4 an episode. Is that worth it? Libsyn has said that the average downloads per podcast is 200. You're not going to get anything from that.
And the other important consideration with this here is that a lot of people are probably who are going to be advocates for this, because if you go on Reddit, you can find 1,000 advocates for SoundCloud that are saying that, you know, ignore everything. The thing that people are going to be is like, okay, so your podcast might not be bringing in that much ad revenue, but there's going to be another podcast that is. That's just, you can't say for sure, because the thing is, you would have to have some very big players come over and entice all of their audience to sit through the dynamic ad insertion in order to make this model work. It's just too unknown at this point. And I also read that apparently if you submit all of your stuff through them and whatnot, that there's possibilities that they actually own your iTunes listing, which is also a headache. So there's just a whole bunch of like red flags on moving over to Anchor right now. And if you're thinking about doing that to save yourself a buck, go ahead and do it. If you're willing to just, you know, possibly subject yourself to or subject your audience to a billion dynamic inserted ads, because you don't know what they're going to do in the future, as well, just, you know, except that you might just one day lose all of your property altogether, because that's the risk that you're taking. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's that's my opinion. It is a risk that you are going to take. That is absolutely my opinion, and my opinion only. So I would caution you to rethink this if you're thinking about going over to Anchor from SoundCloud. I think you should take this opportunity to look into some different options. If Libsyn or Podbean are not your cup of tea, maybe there's something else. But I got to tell you that there's only a few hosts that have been around for many, many, many years successfully, because they figured out the right model for their business.
Yeah, I would just be very particular about what hosts I go to. And anybody that says they can host for free, I would seriously doubt, first of all, if they're going to be around for a while, and second of all, if they really know what they're doing. So just be aware of that and take these articles with a grain of salt when they come out, because it might not necessarily be written by somebody at TechCrunch.
Absolutely. But that's going to go ahead and wrap up our download. Let's go ahead and find out what you had to say about your podcast this week. We posted a poll on Twitter and we asked the question, I prefer podcast host to be, number one, energetic and passionate, or even-toned and informative. So the results are in, and 75% of people said energetic and passionate, with 25% of people saying even-toned and informative.
Yeah, I think this poll is flawed because there's no hybrid option. There's no like Tom Merritt option here where you have slightly energetic but yet informative.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. You know, all energetic people who are on podcasts are not informative at all. All energetic people.
Yeah, they're just raging against the machine.
Absolutely. Oh, we also had a tweet from Hootslayer saying, and this was in response to the poll, saying, unholy beings of pure noise and secret gateways to eldritch dimensions. And also funny. I like funny. So that was apparently the third option in the poll.
Okay. And then Diami Plotkey responded to the poll and he said, woodworkers. So that's his whole thing about hosts. They need to be woodworkers.
It's a fair point. I would agree with that. Now, we also had tweeted to us, we had from Damien the DM, at Damien the DM on Twitter, say, as a Podbean user, I'll try to remember to send in some audio about my use with the YouTube auto-posting.
Oh, and we do happen to have that audio available, so Damien, here we go.
Hello, Stephen and SP. This is Damien from the Adventures in Aurelia podcast over at adventuresinaurelia.com. That's E-R-Y-L-I-A. In your last episode's download, you were talking about the new Podbean feature where sharing your episode with Facebook now gives you the option to use an embeddable Facebook player. The topic also briefly came up for the feature to automatically upload your podcast episodes to YouTube. I use Podbean to host my podcast, and I do actually have it set to automatically upload my episodes to YouTube. I do not do a video show, but I take advantage of this feature because it is something I was able to set and forget, and I figure that since it isn't taking me any extra time, then why not use it? I only do this with YouTube because, unlike Facebook and Twitter, there isn't an expectation to have more than just your content posted on the page. To me, it's a lot like being in Stitcher, Google Play, or iHeartRadio. It's just another search engine that people can find me in. However, I recently turned off the sharing features for my Facebook and Twitter because of that reason that you're expected to be a little less automated and have a little bit more than just a stream of your content posted on those social media sites. Instead, I'm now using a more semi-automated feature, which is something that SP said that you guys will be talking about in a future episode. Or you talked about it in this episode, in which case, this is a little awkward. Taking the automatic share off lets me customize my message a bit more, and it also lets me post on social media at a more active time of the day, because my episodes normally are finished very early in the morning because I work a night shift schedule, and that's the same schedule that I use for editing. Though with this new feature for Facebook, I may have to turn my social sharing back on for Facebook so that I can take advantage of this new feature. Thank you guys for playing this on the show. Sorry this went a little long.
Thank you very much, Damien. You made a lot of great points, and we really appreciate it. If anybody wants to give us feedback, go ahead and email us podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Give us a link to video would be great, or audio, and we will play it on the show. So he's talking about a story we had last episode about Podbean enabling automatic posting of the podcast to Facebook. And he also likened it to the auto posting with YouTube. We have a lot to say about this and might actually take a whole episode in the future. YouTube auto posting is a double-edged sword, because you're not actually posting live video like we are with Better Podcasting. This is two talking heads, and you can actually see us as we're recording. In the case of auto posting, you're just posting your audio along with a picture. So that turns some people off. However, it does give you A, Google SEO, and B, a Google Translation. So, which isn't, we've experimented with that on GunnaGeek.com show. It's not entirely 100%. But it's still there, so people can get a general sense of what you're talking about. So like I said, it's a double-edged sword, and you have to weigh the pros and the cons on whether you want to do that or not for your show.
For sure. One of the things that I find interesting when you're considering the auto-post stuff is whether or not your time that you're saving is worth the loss of information directly, or of linkage directly to your site. The case in point on this is that with Better Podcasting, we tweet out automatically through Libsyn. So you go to Libsyn, and what is it that you see there? You go to Twitter, and what is it that you see? You see the embedded Libsyn post, which all the linkage is gonna take you over to Libsyn. Meanwhile, we have betterpodcasting.com. We've made the active decision that on Twitter, we would rather just utilize that player and really just utilize the automation, and it's worth it versus me going in and having to manually do that just to get the hyperlink back to betterpodcasting.com. So we've made that the decision on that. We've weighed the pros and the cons. For you, it might not be. So, you know, the whole automation system tied to a provider is a really interesting one.
We do use timed distribution, though, timed tweets or timed Facebook posts. I know Steven's used that in the past, since I'm not on Facebook, but that is important as well. And there's key times during the day for your highest of your demographic on your audience to actually post. Like if you're mostly United States, you want to hit it maybe late morning or late afternoon as people are cycling into their offices or on their way home. They can actually respond to that social media post, wherever it may be. So that is good. The other thing about turning those off, because you don't want just an automated post out there, it's always, for example, on Twitter, it's always great to reshare or quote that retweet and say something else about that show along the way. And that's across the board for all my shows, what I do and what my co-hosts do. It's not just the automated tweet. It's also us sharing as well on that tweet. So again, Damien, thank you very much for that voicemail. We really appreciate that. And if anybody else has anything that they want to say about auto posting, we'd be happy to hear it. But finally, Cybercast tweeted us, and the Cybercast said, at BetterPod, the Sunday release is great. Kick off a usually slow Monday workday with some pod info and your now familiar voices. And for us to be familiar voices, I have to say, I apologize. I'm so sorry. It's just, especially Steven. That's an annoying voice. I wouldn't want that to be familiar to me if I didn't have to.
You know, it can't be any more annoying than when you tried to do a sleep voice last week. I still am getting hate mail for that one.
You don't like the shouting whispering.
Exactly. But that is going to take us to the end of Better Pod Back. Before we wrap up, a couple of quick things. Number one, thanks to everybody who came on by www.geeks.live. We had a lot of people there today, including Heather, Bandrew, Scott, Emily, Seth. And I think there was a few other people who came on in there. And the long story short, if you missed it, was that everybody agrees that Steven John Drew is worth a heck of a lot more than 23 cents an hour.
You said you were worth less than 23 cents an hour. You said you're worth 1 cent. 1 Canadian cent, I might add, which is difficult because you don't have Canadian pennies anymore.
No, that's true, actually. I'm not worth much. But we also had a fun little plug that SPA wants to tell you all about how you can get a little more Stargate Pioneer.
You actually want to come out and meet me in person? You can go to Gen Con in Indianapolis, Indiana on Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017. And you can meet me. You can meet Cody and Jonathan from Game Life Balance US. And you can meet Michelle from the Starling Tribune. And we are at 10 a.m. in the Crown Plaza at the Pennsylvania Station C doing a panel called What is a Podcast? A Miserable Little Pile of Secrets. The description for the panel reads as follows. Podcasts are hot these days, but what exactly is a podcast? How do you listen? And how can you start podcasting yourself? Members of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network explain how to get in on the game. And if you like that, wait, there's more at 11 o'clock in the same room in the Crown Plaza at Pennsylvania Station C. We're having a follow-on panel called Purposeful Podcasting with the Gonna Geek Network. What are you trying to do with your podcast and how can you do it the best? Gonna Geek Podcast Network veterans share their secrets, best practices, industry trends, and a Q&A for casual and pro podcasters. So once again, that is Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017 at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. Come on out. We'd love to see you and we'd love to talk to you about podcasting and answer your podcasting questions.
Unfortunately, I will not be there due to the lack of money that Stargate Pioneer pays me.
Well, I pay you enough in Canadian coin. It's when you hit that exchange rate on the way back that you don't.
But thanks for checking out another episode of Better Podcasting. If you like geeky stuff, please do check out the Gonna Geek Network. That's GonnaGeekNetwork.com. Lots of really good geeky shows, including some of those that SP mentioned. Check them all out. GonnaGeekNetwork.com, including the official GonnaGeek.com show. That's an show that Stargate Pioneer and myself do with our co-host Chris. We run down the latest geeky happenings and we do that live on Mondays and it releases usually on Wednesdays. So check that out. GonnaGeekNetwork.com. But for episode 91 of Better Podcasting, I'm Steven John Drew saying, had a fun time tonight. SP, pay me more.
And I'm SP saying, Steven, get your butt back home. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.